Okay, good morning to you. If you don't know me, my name's Steve Wolford. Used to be in this site. Last couple of years, I've been over at the Hove site. So the Hove site send their love to you this morning. It's great to be back with you. This is the last of the This Life series, where we've been looking at practical wisdom from the book of Proverbs in the Bible, and we've looked at various characters and personalities. This morning, we are looking at the angry. Okay, we're looking at the angry. And there is a place for expressing anger about the right things in the right way. That is good. But I'm not going to be talking about that much today. maybe at the end, if I can get there, then we'll get there about expressing anger about the right things in the right way. I'm not sure that we'll get there, but we'll see. I'm looking more at negative expressions of anger. And there are many of those around us all the time. Whether that's cruelty in the school playground, whether it's bullying in the workplace, whether it's domestic violence, whether it's terrorist atrocities, retaliatory airstrikes, we're surrounded by anger a lot of the time. And I just want you to know that Joel Virgo, who leads the team here, is very aware of my anger issues. And I think he's asked me to preach in the hope that it will help with some of those. And the reality is that we all do have anger issues, every single one of us. Some of us, though, do have particularly short fuses. And there are some great proverbs. If that is you, there are some great proverbs that I'm lining up today. But it's not just for you if you have a short fuse. It is for all of us. And I'm just going to read just a few verses from Proverbs chapter 15. Verse 1 says this: a soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. The tongue of the wise commends knowledge, but the mouths of fools pour out folly. The eyes of the Lord are in every place, keeping watch on the evil and the good. A gentle tongue is a tree of life, but perverseness in it breaks the spirit. I guess we're probably all aware of people in our lives that seem angry all the time. And it's very easy for us to point the finger at them and wish that they were the ones that were hearing this talk today. But the reality is we all have anger triggers. One of my favorite set of films is the Back to the Future series. A bit dated now, I know. But if you like that set of films, you'll know that Marty McFly could handle just about anything unless someone called him
chicken.
And then this kind of red mist enveloped him, and he would lose it. And we're all like him. We all have our own individual triggers. For me, it's DIY. It's on my bike. If cars, buses, and lorries just don't seem to be aware of my presence, it's traffic jams, particularly if I'm going on holiday or going to do something nice or I've got to be somewhere at a particular time. And as I discovered again yesterday, supervising bouncy castles as well. These are my anger triggers that reveal deep levels of inadequacy in me in various ways and in various times. I wonder what yours are. Anger is a very deceitful thing. I want to look for a few moments at anger's deceitfulness, because you see, it appears to us sometimes that anger is productive. And there's a tendency sometimes for us to use it as a tool. If we feel we're not getting the attention that we need, if things aren't happening, then if we get angry, sometimes it seems to produce the desired result, whether that's on the phone, whether that's in a shop. We can sometimes use anger that way because it seems to get things done that aren't necessarily happening. Furthermore, It can sometimes feel good. It feels good to get something off your chest, to put someone in their place, to justify ourselves when we feel we are misunderstood. And if we walk away quickly, it means we get the last word as well. And those things can feel good. I remember an occasion that I cannot remember how old I was. I have a brother who's 9 years older than me. And when I was young, he used to tease me mercilessly. And there came a point, I cannot remember whether I was 9, 10, 18, or whatever it was. I think it was at the younger end. But he obviously went just too far. And I absolutely lost it. And I rushed at him. I was in an absolute rage. I was pummeling him with my fists. I was calling him all kinds of unpleasant things. Totally lost it. He will refer back to that day still and say he never teased me from that day on. It was so scary. I'm not sure that was true, actually. I think it did carry on. But it's one of those situations where you could feel like anger produced an effect that was productive because he didn't tease me. I want to tell you, it didn't produce any positive effects at all. The fact that I think I said to him, I wish he had never been born, didn't actually do wonders for our relationship at that particular time. And so we can have this sense anger's productive, but actually it isn't. The lasting fruit is very, very bad. I want to say a little aside here as well about something that's called passive-aggressive behavior. Because when we think of anger and losing it, often we'll think of shouting, screaming, swearing, all those very unpleasant expressions of it. There is a thing called passive-aggressive behavior, which is perhaps equally dangerous. And it's often experienced by people who have perhaps grown up not being allowed to express unpleasant feelings. And when that is the case, you still look for ways to get back at those that are making you angry. And often you can do that without even realizing it. And the person that's passively aggressive is saying something like this: you can make my life miserable, but you cannot stop me driving badly, getting drunk, having an affair, getting pregnant, taking drugs, cheating at work. You can control some things about my life, but you cannot control what I eat, what I drink, what I do with my body. I just want to put that out there in terms of that is an expression of anger, not that we tend to sometimes think of, but equally angry, equally dangerous. And I just want to make it very clear that actually anger in its worst expressions is very damaging indeed. Look at that verse that I read earlier. It says, a soft answer turns away wrath. This is Proverbs 15, verse 1. But a harsh word stirs up anger. Harsh words, complaint, criticism, condemnation. Don't know if you've had many situations where those have been aimed at you. They're designed to wound, and they do indeed wound. They don't help anyone at all. Harsh words coming with that kind of spirit. Not only do they wound, but they provoke. It provokes an escalation. So there becomes like a battle. A battle ensues of insults, of rage, that sadly can actually lead, in serious cases, to violence and to death. There's another verse in Proverbs 15, verse 18. It says this: a hot-tempered man stirs up strife. It's the language of war. But he who is slow to anger quiets contention. It's interesting how we often associate anger with heat. And it's very appropriate. An angry person, if you're an angry person, you need to understand you're like a boiling kettle or a boiling saucepan that overflows. When you overflow, it's unpleasant. It scalds others. It is dangerous to others. And often the hot-tempered man or woman is confrontative, is cruel, is confrontational. If there's not a fight going on, they'll want to start one. And such a person is a danger. It's a danger to their family, a danger to the community. If they're part of a church, they are a danger to the church. Anger has an unpleasant effect on those around the angry person. The other thing about it is it's very dangerous to the person actually expressing the anger as well. Listen to this. Proverbs 14, verse 7 says, "A man of quick temper acts foolishly." That's so true. A man of quick temper acts foolishly. An angry person doesn't think about the consequences of their anger for themselves or for others. I don't know how many of you would remember the 2006 World Cup final. France were playing someone, I can't remember who it was, but Zinedine Zidane was playing probably the greatest footballer of his generation, and it was the showcase final, the whole world watching. I don't know if you remember it, but someone insulted him, and he just lost it. He headbutted the guy, got sent off in front of the whole world, and his team lost. That is an example of a man of quick temper acting foolishly. We've had Oscar Pistorius in the news today. I wonder if Oscar Pistorius had had the ability to foresee these last couple of years, whether he would have done what he did. But often that doesn't happen with the case of an angry person. A man of quick temper acts foolishly. Here's another proverb, Proverbs 25, 28. "A man without self-control is like a city broken into and left without walls." That is profound. You can read articles that would tell you about the effects of anger on a person in terms of their physical and mental health. Angry people tend to be prone to high blood pressure, heart attacks, depression, digestive problems, even colds and flu will occur more regularly to the person who is consistently angry. It leaves you very spiritually vulnerable as well. You can look at various verses in the Bible. I won't go into them today. It makes it very clear the devil hangs around angry people and seeks to exploit their anger for his purposes. He looks for a foothold. And anger gives such an easy foothold for our enemy into our lives to steal, to kill, and destroy. So anger's dangerous. Dangerous for those around an angry person, danger for us, and it has an effect on God as well. Listen to this. James chapter 1, verse 20 says this, "Know this, my beloved brothers, let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger, for the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God." There you go. We think anger produces something. We think it has an effect. Well, it certainly doesn't produce the kind of life that God's looking for. He's not impressed with our angry attitudes, words, and actions, because it's us trying to assert our control rather than willingly coming under and enjoying his control. And he loves those that we end up wounding. So that's the deceitfulness of anger. Let's look at controlling our anger. And I just want to deal with a common misconception about anger. And it's to do with this fact that we associate anger with heat, and very appropriately so. But the problem is it leaves us thinking that anger is like this kind of hot, pressurized fluid inside us that actually we just got to get it out there. We just need to unleash it if we're going to be released from that anger. And so we talk about feeling like we're at boiling point, or we're about to blow our lid, or we need to let off steam, or we're getting hot under the collar. All these things about anger indicate this sense of a hot fluid inside me. And often it comes, the sense that comes with it is that actually, this is nothing to do with me. This is out of my control. And It's due to my circumstances. It's due to people provoking me. Well, you need to understand, and for some of you, this may be the most profound thing that you take away from today. You need to understand that getting angry is something you do. Okay, it's not something you don't have any choice about. It's just this fluid that's suddenly there that you've got to get rid of. No, anger is something that you do. And it is something that we all need to take responsibility for. Well, how do we take responsibility for it? Well, here's some help. Some people, there's a whole range of helps, okay? Some people find counting to 10 helpful, okay? And let me just say, the idea is you don't just count to 10 and then let rip, okay? You're meant to be actually controlling your anger while you count to 10. Others find exercise and recreation help. I used to play squash, and there's something about hitting that little black ball hard and fast that can do wonders for you. Getting involved in some creative activities can be helpful for some. Talking to others about the things that are stirring or triggering their anger can be helpful. Guarding your thought life, not letting your mind dwell on things, comments like, why is it always me? Or this is so unfair. Trying to rein in your thought life. I'm just going to put up an anger ladder here. I'm not going to go through this in detail, but there's an anger ladder. The only two good ones are at the top, okay? This is what we're aiming for when we feel anger, pleasant behavior and seeking resolution. Okay, have a look through. It's a ladder that gets increasingly worse. Okay, right down the passive-aggressive there that I mentioned earlier, down there with physical abuse. I want to just try and look and see where you think you are in terms of that anger ladder. When you get angry, how far do you go? Okay, and a ladder like that, just spelling out that kind of sequence, a very unpleasant sequence, may actually help some. To work out, right, okay, if I can just go two rungs up, I'm going to be in a much better place. So those are tools, okay? Those things can be of some help. Let's look at the Proverbs and see what the Scripture tells us as well. Proverbs 15, verse 18 says this, "A hot-tempered man stirs up strife, but he who is slow to anger quiets contention." Another way of translating slow to anger is long of anger, or even long of nostril, would you believe? There's often a lot of connection between the nostrils and anger. Just think of raging bulls, for example. Okay, maybe to do with the fact that when people get angry, their nose tends to turn red. If you've got a big nose, it's going to take longer to get there. It's going to take longer to get red. You're probably getting inflamed more slowly. Interestingly, one of the techniques for controlling anger is make sure you breathe out longer than you breathe in. That's interesting, isn't it? But slow to anger means long of nostril. I would love to take you to scriptures. Time doesn't really permit in terms of taking you to some examples. The one that I will particularly refer to is Jesus' beautiful story of when the religious leaders bring to him the woman caught in adultery. And they come to him angry. They're just using this woman as an excuse to try and trap Jesus into saying something that will make him he'll say something will totally offend the people that he's ministering to, or offend the religious leaders, or offend the religious, or the Romans. It's all designed to put him in a no-win situation. And they present to this woman caught in adultery, and they want to know what he's going to do about it. What he does is he just stoops down. And it says he draws in the sand, doesn't say a word. And do you think he's counting to 10? Do you think he's doing a bit of art therapy to try and get his anger under control? No, Jesus is in complete mastery of his spirit and his emotions. He was just taking some time out. We don't know exactly why he did that, but we do know that while he was doing that, the Holy Spirit was active. And they kept questioning him. Eventually, he stood up and he said, "Let the first one without any sin in this place be the first one to cast a stone." If you know the story, they all started to walk away. And he was able to leave that woman restored, forgiven, with a sense of hope for the future. What a beautiful example of how to handle anger around you, to use soft language, body language, tone, words used, restored, redeemed that ugly situation. What a brilliant example. Let's look at another proverb. Proverbs 16, verse 32 said this: "Whoever is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he who rules his spirit than he who takes a city." There may be some of you here this morning, you feel you haven't got many gifts. You don't feel you bring many gifts to the body of Christ. I tell you, if you are a self-controlled person, if you know how to rule your anger and rule your spirit, you are an amazing gift, not to this church only, but to your home, to your workplace, to your community. It is a wonderful, wonderful thing to have. It says in this verse, it's that you can have a more positive and powerful influence than even political and military leaders. Isn't that amazing? When you learn how to govern your spirit, how to control your anger. Because all these proverbs, what they're talking about is aiming for self-control when you get angry. Here's another one. Proverbs 17, verse 27 says this: "Whoever restrains his words has knowledge, and he who has a cool spirit is a man of understanding." A lot of emphasis today on being cool. Here's a coolness to aspire to, a coolness of spirit. We talk about people keeping their cool, don't we? What a great coolness to go for. And that proverb indicates that that's something that's learned. It involves knowledge and understanding. You need to understand yourself. You need to understand your temperament. You need to understand your weaknesses, your trigger points for anger. You need to understand what your stamina level is, how tired you are, what are the motivations that are at work inside you. It's knowing and understanding those things that help you move towards self-control. Even more, knowing those things about others that you are amongst, working alongside and serving, knowing their trigger points, knowing their stamina levels. It's not easy, it's complex, but knowledge and understanding will help you to become restrained in your words. And Proverbs 29, verse 11 says this: "A fool gives full vent, there's that pressurized fluid again, okay? Full vent to his spirit, but a wise man quietly holds it back." That can be translated, quiets it in the background. Has the thought of a young mum with a fractious child that's crying, taking the child out of the room to soothe him or her. It's the same idea. When you sense anger rising up within you, take the baby out. Okay, take the baby out. Find a quiet place, douse your anger with water, okay? A wise man quietly holds it back. One last proverb before I begin to draw to a conclusion. It's Proverbs 22, verse 24, verse 5. Practical advice here, it says, avoid close, ongoing contact with angry people. That's something that we can do, okay? Proverbs 22 says this: "Make no friendship with a man given to anger, nor go with a wrathful man, lest you learn his ways and entangle yourself in a snare." Be very careful about getting close to angry people. Associating with an angry person is like entering a house on fire. You need to beware. Get out before you get engulfed. In all this, let me say, feeling anger is a normal part of life. Okay, it's an emotional response to things that happen. It happens to all of us. Uncontrolled venting of it is unhealthy, damages people, damages yourself, offends a pure and holy God. But also trying to just bury those things, deny them, forget they're there, is equally unhealthy. Self-control isn't saying, just bury it, okay? Just pretend it's not there. That is not what we are talking about in terms of self-control. You're trying to control yourself so you can express your anger appropriately in a way that is seeking peace, but it is verbal, but it's in control. It's not harsh. And so why do we find this so hard? And I guess this has come up so many times when we go through a series like this. We find it so hard because the problem is in our hearts. That's where the problem is. That's the source of our anger. We tend to think, I wouldn't have a problem with anger if it wasn't for this person, that person, or those circumstances that I'm in. No, the anger in our hearts is our response to those people and those situations. And particularly, that anger arises when the things that we crave seem to be blocked or seem to be threatened in some way, whether it's love, security, respect, things we crave in that way, whether it's money, sex, or power, things we crave in that way. When those things are blocked, that's when there's an emotional response to us. There's a temptation then to get angry. And that's why sometimes, I don't know if this ever happens to you, you can sometimes, something can absolutely trivial can happen and you get angry about it. And you think afterwards, why did I get angry about that? It was such a trivial thing. It's because of your heart. It's probably because of some blocked goal. It's tapped in. Even sometimes someone just saying the word no to you taps into something and it triggers something that is there in your heart. And you know, I mentioned a number of strategies, anger ladders, thing we can do, breathing out longer than you breathe in. All those things are of some value. They take you some way, but to be truly free from your anger, we cannot do it thoroughly, fully, without God's help. We need the help and the power of our God. We need to take our anger to God before we take it anywhere else. Okay, we need to understand that. That's where we go with our anger. We need to take it to God. Don't just vent it on others around you. Take it to God. Take your heart to God. Your heart, my heart, that can so often be very sick. And the phrase that God's put on my heart for this morning is God wants to break the cycle for some of us. He wants to break the anger cycle. And I don't know what that might mean. I hope some of you are feeling that is relevant to me. It may be that for some of you, you know, there's like this cycle of anger that you just cannot break. It's internal. And some of the things that I've said are describing how you are. And you just don't know how to break it. God can help you break that cycle. For others, I think it's a cycle with a particular individual or a particular situation. That it's like a cycle that just seems to be going on there with that particular specific situation. God wants to break the cycle there. I think for others, this is like a family thing. It's like a generational thing. It's like your parents and your grandparents had anger issues, and so do you. And it's like God wants to break the cycle there. And for some of us, this can be a dilemma, bringing it to God, because some of us feel that God is predominantly an angry God. And I wish I could talk longer about this, because that could be the very thing that stops us bringing it to God, because we feel this is separating me from God. And how can I bring this to an angry God? You need to understand, it says in the Bible, time and time again, God is slow to anger. It also says his anger is momentary, but his favor lasts for a lifetime. And you can think, I'm sure, like me, of incidents in the Bible. You think, hold on, I hear that, but what about Ananias and Sapphira? What about the guy that touched the ark when he shouldn't have done? And people that just got struck down. How does that square with God being slow to anger? Well, you need to understand God's anger is very, very different from ours. Very, very different. God's anger is pure and righteous and holy. It's a very good thing. You know, love and anger, a pure, righteous anger, must go together. Otherwise, you cannot protect the one you love. You cannot protect the things that you love unless there's a righteous anger alongside love. And God is described as love, but there is anger in his personality as well. It is clearly there, but it's a different anger. It's not an anger that comes and goes quickly. It's settled. It's steady. It's a settled revulsion with sin and evil and anything that falls short of his purity and his glory and his holiness. And so there are occasions in the Bible where we're given an insight into what it's like when that settled anger is released. And it's there for us to learn from it, that actually that there is an anger in God. It's controlled, but most of the time it's restrained. But he gives us a few occasions in the Bible where he lets us see it come out in a way, and we realize, man, this is our God. He's pure and holy. And it says, because of our sin, the anger of God is coming. There's a day coming when Jesus is going to return, and because he's a good God, he's going to wipe out all that is sinful and evil, and that includes us, if he's not done something with our hearts and made us into new people. We stand in line of this wrath, this anger that is to come. You know, the amazing thing is with God's anger is how much sin and evil he tolerates before he acts. The fact is, you and I are only in this room today because God is slow to anger. That is the grace and the mercy of God. But there is a day coming when his anger will be unleashed in all its fullness. And he's telling us that because he wants us to be ready. He wants us to find that way of escape. Let me just draw to a close and read these verses from 1 Peter chapter 2, because God's put a rescue package in place. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We're coming into the Christmas season, celebrating the fact that Jesus came. Jesus came to live and die for us. He came to die on a cross. And it says this in 1 Peter 2, when he was reviled, he did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but continued entrusting himself to him who judges justly. He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, that we might die to sin, including anger, and live to righteousness. And it says here, by his wounds you have been healed. The full righteous anger of God was poured out on his Son on the cross, Jesus Christ. He endured and exhausted that anger so that we don't have to go through it, so that we can be free. It's the power of the cross that breaks the cycle of anger. And when we've experienced that power of the cross, we receive forgiveness for our anger. No longer needs to separate us from the presence of God. Gives us the ability to even forgive others who have wronged us and caused much anger in our lives. The power of the cross is what enables us to stand in his righteousness rather than proclaim our own self-righteousness. It says in those verses, there's healing there for our wounds as well. People in this room that have been on the receiving end of anger, there is healing for you today through the power of the cross. And we have now died to the power of sin with him. So the power of anger has been broken in our lives through the cross. That's the teaching of the New Testament. That's the teaching of the Word of God. We're now able to choose not to be angry. I'm going to pray. I'm going to hand over to Matt just to lead us into communion.